picture. And yesterday was truly a great day, and this is the first of many more. So this is not the only one we're going to do. As we all know, we live in a beautiful place that has almost year-round beach weather, and we will take advantage of it more and more because it was just a great time to unify, wasn't it? You know, just a great time to eat and break bread and edify each other and edify the Lord. And I won't forget this trip because it was really meaningful to me. And what was meaningful to me was all the food we had. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Randy's shaking his head. It was so much food. Oh my Lord. No, what was really meaningful to me and to Karen was you. You being there and wanting to be there. And the weather was amazing. Just incredible. Unbelievable. So I know a few of us have been sick. We've got Elisa out today, sick, so be praying for her, please. Sam battled her way to get here today. She's been feeling down, so Akasha, I think we wore her out, which is hard to wear out a 13-year-old, but I think we did. And the waves were perfect, and some of us didn't necessarily like the waves so much as they liked the other sleep waves. Sleep waves. So it was a great time for all. Restful. We had our canopies up and breeze blowing and Randy sleeping, and he was left alone. So until he went out and made new friends on the beach, right? Yeah. He carried his volleyball around. He was looking for game and made some friends. So it was great. It was great. And we'll talk more about some plans coming up. So we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to remind everybody that this week on July 30th, between 5 and 9 at the Chipotle at the Loop, everybody I think knows where the Loop is, which is John Young and Osceola Parkway. If you can and you are hungry between 5 and 9, just grab something at Chipotle. And part of the proceeds will go to the YMCA here. And again, I said this last week, I'll say it again, why do we help them raise money? Well, it's not them, and it's not us. It's us together, it's we. We partner with the Y because we've got great, great things to do. Hey, there she is. All right, we thought we wore you out, Akasha. So, we partner with them. They supply an amazing facility for us, and we'll continue to do so. We've talked to the director. He's going to help us with signage. So we're going to get new signs, those little blue signs. They're going to go away. We're going to have more of those signs that help people know that this church is here, and we partner with the YMCA, and the YMCA partners with this church. So that's really critical, and that's why we love partnerships. And we're all about it. So if you can go to that, please do take your families or just stop by, grab a quick burrito or something, whatever they serve. I have not been to Chipotle in a while, but we're going to go. So between 5 and 9. Oh, yes, please don't forget to bring the flyer or take a picture of this with your phone and show that or mention to them that you are part of the YMCA fundraiser. So you don't forget to do that or it won't count. Yeah, Jan, you're definitely doing this next week. You spoiled me last week. All right, so I mentioned this a while back, so I'm going to mention it again. So August 5th at 6 p.m. at the St. Cloud Police Department, the St. Cloud Police Department, Kissimmee Police Department, and the Sheriff's Office will all be meeting with pastors and church people from around Kissimmee in Osceola County. This has been going on for a while now, and it's a meeting that they have every other month. And why I think it's so critical is that it's law enforcement and spiritual enforcement coming together for our families, for you, for me, We're coming together for our families. They are asking us to pray for them. They are asking us to be there at a moment's notice if an officer goes down or if a citizen goes down and we need to get to the hospital or we need to just get to the police department or we just need to stop what we're doing and pray. It's an incredibly important alliance. And that's what it is. It's an alliance. Some of you are closer than others to law enforcement. We become very close to them to know that are all of them perfect? No, they're human beings. Are all of us in this church perfect?
No,
we're human beings, right? So we have grace for one another. We pray for one another. We support one another. And in the last couple of years, law enforcement has been under attack, y'all. I don't know if any of you have seen TV this past week, but New York Police Department is at its worst morale state ever. When policemen are walking the streets and are being made fun of and getting buckets of water thrown on top of their head and buckets thrown at them and they do nothing, we have a problem. We have a problem. You know why we have a problem? Because our flesh wants to be lawless. We want what we want, and we want it now. That's why this is happening. So we have people that write laws for our land. And sometimes I wonder. I don't quite understand some things. And I'm sure you guys are at the same place. But it would appear sometimes that they want lawlessness to prevail. I hope that's not true. I really do, and I know you do too. We don't want lawlessness to prevail because if it does, we're done. This country will not be what it is today and what it was yesterday. So we've got to really enforce. We've got to really support enforcement. We have laws. When you break them, you go to jail or you get a fine. We almost got a fine yesterday. And we weren't breaking a law. So we just had a meter made that just hadn't felt a lot of love lately. And we found out later from a local that's how she always is. She's always just grumpy.
It wasn't just a bad day. She's no. A bad
no. So, but Karen and you guys were all very respectful to her anyway. And that's my point. Respect, love, show grace anyway. Anyway, it's so critical as a believer in Christ that we do this. So anyway, if you're interested in going to this, you are welcome to come. You're welcome to just go. Oh, I know that guy. Yeah, yeah. I invited him probably 2 months ago. I wonder if he remembered. So in any event, if you want to go and you want to hear what goes on here, this is from, hey, come on in. Come on in. We're just getting started. There's plenty of seats up here. And so it's about an hour and a half meeting, and they cut it off very quickly. So 6 to 7:30, and you're on your way, and they talk about different things that have gone on in the community lately and what they need prayer for. And what you'll see is a room filled with law enforcement people and pastors and pastor support people and you. And so you're welcome to come. And that is August the 5th. And we're getting close to the anniversary of these two officers being slain. That'll be the second year anniversary, I believe. And so we just want to remember these guys, Officers Baxter and Howard. They have families that lost them. They were sons. They were husbands. They were fathers. And now they're gone. And so they need your support. We need to support these men and women, I'm telling you. And KPD is led by an incredible chief, Chief Jeffrey O'Dell. If you remember that name in prayer, just continue to lift him up. That's what we do at 6:30 on Sunday nights. We lift him up in prayer. And other things, of course. But Jeffrey O'Dell is just a man of integrity. We were meeting here at the Y at a board meeting, and one of his officers was in attendance at that meeting. And afterward, we were talking to her, and I said something about, and oh, by the way, tell Chief Odell we just love him, and thank you for everything. And her face lit up like a Christmas tree. Her face just was like, oh, he is awesome. He is amazing. You know, so when your officers, when people cherish you that much and think that highly of you, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, that they really revere him and think he's just a really good leader. So we're led by good people there. All right, enough of that. Whew, rent a life challenge. So we have something here that we've been doing for a while, and we have a visitor today. Welcome. And what we encourage visitors to do is come 4 out of 6 Sundays so that you understand who we are, what we're doing here, what this church message is all about. Make sure we're not doing some goofy things, and make sure you feel good about where you are with us. This is our church family, and if you feel good and it's all a green light, then stay. But if it doesn't feel good, you don't feel connected, or we're preaching something that's not, you know, good, then you can move on, and we'll bless you and love you anyway. But if you come 4 out of 6 weeks to hear all about what we're doing here, it gives you a chance to hear the different things that we're doing here. And if you successfully do that, then we give you this beautiful Rent-A-Life coffee cup, which we're reordering some more because we're about out. And we'll give you, per household, a gift certificate to a grocery store if you want to just pick up some groceries for your house, or a pair of movie tickets for that household so you can go out and have a good date, time, or take a friend. So that's what we do with Rent-A-Life Challenge. It's fun, it's easy, it's great. It gives you a chance to get to know us, and us get to know you. I just told Jan, I'm not doing this anymore. Jan's doing it. Yeah. Yeah. So praise God. Guys, I'm telling you, and I am going to get to this in the message more, but we are apparently doing the right things here because we're under great warfare. Let me just say that, and that'll be that, okay? So it's okay. It is. It's okay. That's the way it should be. You know, churches that have no warfare issues or challenges probably are preaching a message that is okay with the enemy. And if I start to do that, I give you permission to rebuke me, okay? We need elders at this church, by the way. And that day is coming soon that we will elect elders. I need support. We need a team of people that can pray with us, pray for us, and hold us accountable. I'm not interested in electing elders to a board who are yes men. I won't need yes people. I need people who will stand on their spiritual 2 feet and tell Karen and I things that maybe no one else has been able to tell us. Okay? That day's coming because we can't do this by ourselves. You've heard me say that many times. And and I know we can't do this by ourselves if I keep falling off chairs like I did earlier today. Yeah. So that won't go very well. But anyway, I praise God for you guys. I thank you, God, for the offerings today. I thank you, Lord God, for the people behind those tithes and offerings. And Father, I ask that you bless them indeed. Yes. Bless them indeed, Father, beyond anything they could expect, Father. Beyond capacity of our faith, God, bless them. Bless them in their health, Lord. Bless them in their finances, God. I pray for job promotions. I pray for job openings, yes, Lord. I pray Lamaris will find a job, God, and it will be amazing. It'll just suit her. It'll be perfect for her. I pray for advancement for Michael, Lord God. I pray he takes over a territory of Steak and Shakes in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray, God, for just the natural advancements, but I also pray, God, more earnestly for the spiritual advancements, yes, in our homes,
yes,
Father. Bless us, Lord. bless us indeed, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We praise you, God. So, Father, as we bring our tithes and offerings and turn off our phones, that, God, you would bless this mightily. And I pray that this would be like a sweet-smelling aroma to you. And as we now go to sing and praise you and worship you in song, that it too would be like a sweet-smelling aroma in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Don't forget to fill out your yellow prayer cards and drop them in the offering baskets. And as we praise and worship, you're welcome to come up and put your offerings in the baskets. And we will get to sing to the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. You gotta turn that on. I didn't turn that on yet. Praise God. And if you would stand with us, hallelujah.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me?
Well,
I was lost, but He brought me in all His love. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. A slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
Chosen, not forsaken, I am who you are.
say we are, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That's so important for us to know, God, that we are affirmed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are affirmed by our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we know who we are because we know who you are. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
That you work on us, Lord. You work on us daily from the inside out, Lord. We pray you continue to do that now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Times I feel
still your mercy remains.
Sure.
we cry out to you.
Thank glorify you, Lord, Father.
Jesus. We love you, Lord.
Glorify you, Father.
Praise you, Jesus.
This is us right here, this song. This is us.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all
blissfully broken.
Oh, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we are gracefully broken, Lord. We come to this place gracefully broken, filled with your mercy, Lord, filled with the love of Jesus Christ, recipients of grace undeserved, so that we can pour out our life, God, as an offering unto you, Lord. You see, we pick these songs many Sundays strategically. And we pick these songs because they tell a story. And I've said this many times, guys, if you're not singing these songs from your heart, then don't sing them. It's okay. It's okay to not do that. If you're not there, if you've had a rough week or whatever, it's okay. You don't have to sing them. But if you're singing these songs from the heart, they're telling us a story in our heart. And I don't want to sing lies. We sang about from the inside out. What does that mean? God's doing something from the inside out. Not this fleshly part, but from the spirit and the soul and the heart. He's doing something. And sometimes it's painful when a surgeon is working on us. It's painful. But it makes us grow in the love and admonition of the Lord. It makes us know him from the heights and depths and widths of his love for us. It's a good thing when he operates on us from the inside out, so that we can get to this place of being gracefully broken. And I'll hopefully be able to share with you why that is so important today. Oh, Lord. Oh, my Lord. You may be seated. I was going to dismiss the youth, but they're already gone. Wow. I don't usually do this, but I need to tell you guys something. I'm exhausted. I'm really exhausted. I'm spiritually, mentally, physically, I'm just beat. That's not to make you guys go, oh, poor. No, I'm just telling you the reality so that you can know, just pray for us. And I'm sorry about some things that have gone on here this morning. Things like not getting the sound right. I still don't know what's going on with the sound. I know one thing. Mics don't work if you don't turn them on. True statement, right? So thank God for Michael. He figured out one thing right away when he walked in. And another thing I realized was I didn't turn the box on for the microphone. But that's what happens when we have a little bit too much fun at the beach the day before and we don't get set up. So, but we need a few things to change around here, in a good way, you know. And with growth, there's always change. And we've had some growth, and praise God for that. I praise God for you guys, you know that? I do. And growth that comes with it, we have a youth department, for crying out loud. Yes. Of all, yes, yes, yes. And we praise God for Sue and his family, and her family. Michael, thank you for supporting this. This is amazing. And so, you know, with that comes some changes, and so we're praying that we can figure out a better way to set up our church. Now, let me tell you something. We are about the only YMCA with a church that is closed on Sundays. Most of the YMCAs are open on Sundays, so the churches, and they can't get in the night before to set up. So all the other churches and the other YMCAs that are like our brothers and sisters, and they are, they're our brothers and sisters, they all have to get in early Sunday morning, set up, and then tear down every Sunday. And they have to tear down like fast, because then the Y opens for business. And I appreciate your suggestion yesterday. We need to think out of the box, but so we want to talk to the executive director to see if there's a way that, I don't know, we just have to figure some things out so that we're not limited to that between 2 and 4 on Saturdays, which is a blessing. I'm not knocking that. Thank God we've been able to come do that for 2 years. But it's tough because we're right in the middle of the afternoon. We're trying to get our message together, or sometimes we have family issues that we need to deal with. Sometimes we have family, you know, here.
Sometimes we just have to go to the beach.
Sometimes we just got to go to the beach. That's right. There's hospital visitations that have to be done. We've had Pat in the hospital, in and out a lot, and others. So, Sam, we're trying to pray you out of the hospital so you don't go in.
That's right.
So anyway, just be in prayer that the right changes happen to continue to make all the rough edges smooth. You know, it's obvious when we come in to set up on Sunday mornings, we can't get everything done. You know, we try our best, but we can't get anything. I can't test sound, so it's a let's hope it all works kind of thing. And this morning it kind of did. So anyway. So just know that we're working as hard as we can to make this a really great and balanced ministry. The key word there is balanced. It's already a great ministry. We've got missionaries in the field. We've got missionary families that we support. This church supports. And one's in Australia. The other's getting ready to go back to North Africa. And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And so I'm not complaining. Please don't think these are complaints. I'm always real with you guys. I've always tried to be real. And there's times we're just pooped. So, we're just pooped. So, I really was struggling this week because of all the busyness. It was a really busy week. Trying to get my thoughts in my head together and line it up with the Holy Spirit and asking him, what do you want me to share today? What can I share that will impact someone today? And it came to me on the way home from the beach yesterday, basically. Basically, that's when it came. But when it came heavy. I don't know if that makes sense to you, you know, but it really just came like, wow, okay. So God, you're going to have to help me articulate this. You're going to have to help me put this on paper so that it comes out right. I don't want it to come out wrong. But let me say this, as I've said many times, as you study the Word of God on your own, Let me ask more of a question. As you have studied the Word of God on your own, have you found passages in Scripture that sometimes are offensive? I will read something that Jesus said, and I'm like, oh, man, he got me again. And the really cool thing about God's Word is it is a living doctrine. It is not like any historical document. It is not a history book. It is not a storybook. It is not a child's storybook. It is a document that is an accumulation of testimonies of the goodness of God, testimonies of the power of God in your life and my life, testimonies of a warfare that won't end until Jesus comes back, gets his saints. We rule on this earth for 1,000 years, and then we put Satan finally where he belongs forever, in the lake of fire. Now, see, I just said a whole lot, and I don't know where you all are, but let me tell you something. The first couple years of me being saved, I don't know that I believed all that. I don't know that I believed all that. So what did I have to do? I had to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I had to study God's Word. And then I had to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet so that nothing else was left to argue with God. Any of you argue with God?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 7.
That's right. And so you got to get to that place where you just trust God's word and that you're filled with his Holy Spirit, so that when you're reading it and when you're hearing a pastor or you're listening to a podcast from other wonderful, wonderful expounders of the word of God, that you don't get offended, or if you get offended by the word of God, that you go do something about it. Man, I've been a believer for 27 years. You don't think I've been offended by God's word? Oh, yeah. But then I don't stop there. I go, wait a minute. Why did that sting when I read that? Why did that hurt? Figure that out. Do a little self-introspection and then go figure it out and change that. Change that in your life. Go figure that out. And, you know, we wait upon the Lord because he's good. Our God is so good, you guys. I'm telling you, I know many of you are going through challenges. I know. But it doesn't make him not good.
That's right.
It doesn't make him not love you. It doesn't make him irrelevant. He is a good God, and he loves you. He's your heavenly Father. And if you're a father or a mother sitting in this room right now, have you given everything that your children have asked all the time? Have you given them everything they asked for all the time? No. There are certain things you just have to say, no, I can't do that. God told me that. We had to tell our children that. We couldn't just do that, and nor can God. But he's a good God. And we've talked many, many months here, more from the perspective of how good God is, how faithful God is, how much of a warrior he is for you and I. For months, we've been talking about his ever-presence. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. We've talked about he's a healer. We've prayed for people and they've been healed. We've prayed for other people and they weren't healed. But we stand on the miracle of, okay, this one got healed. This one we're still working out. But God is good. He's faithful. He loves you. He's filled with grace. And he pours his mercy out onto you and I when we trust him and believe in him and obey him. Obey him. He's good, guys. Don't lose sight of that. And today I'm trying to bring a little bit different perspective about waiting upon the Lord. You know, the waiting upon the Lord comes from this passage of Isaiah. Israel was just coming out of darkness when this was written by the prophet. Israel was coming out of a time of battle and battle within themselves and darkness, and God just poured out his mercy on them anyway. So that's where the waiting upon the Lord comes from. And let me read you a little bit of Isaiah chapter 40 so I can set up the rest of this message, if you'll allow me to do that. So it says here in chapter 40, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." See, those are two separate things. Her iniquity is pardoned. Your iniquity is pardoned when you ask the Lord to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, and when you repent of your sins. "For she," Israel, "has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight in your life and my life." Do any of you have crooked places in your life? They will be made straight. There's not one perfect sitting in the sound of my voice today. They will be made straight by the Lord, not by anything you do or anything I do, but by the Lord God Almighty. All flesh is grass, and all of its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our Lord, the word of our Lord, the word of our Lord stands forever. Forever. It's why we implore you, we challenge you, we ask you, study. Study. Show yourself approved. Don't rely on us or anybody else to feed you like a mama feeds a little bird. Brings the worms and drops them down. No. No. You have to do the work. You have to study to show yourself approved. You have to work out, the Bible says, your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are guides. We are guides. We're just shepherds. We're shepherds hoping to make sure that not one of you runs off the cliff. And when you have a herd of sheep, we tend to run off the cliff. We tend to run and play in traffic sometimes. We tend to put ourselves in danger. We tend to put ourselves in the crosshairs of Satan sometimes. And so you need a shepherd to come and pull you back from the edge, right? I needed a shepherd. I still need a shepherd. Growing up, specifically the first 10 years as a young Christian, man, I needed a shepherd. Oh, you know, to pull me back from just crazy stuff. Decisions that I kept wanting to make that were from the flesh. We talked about the flesh, right? And then the pastor showed me this, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So why aren't we? That's the question I have for you and I today. Why aren't we, as the body of Christ, why aren't we walking as though we have been renewed in our body and in our spirit? I just admitted to you today, I'm tired. But somehow, I'm still renewed. I'm refreshed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm renewed by His Spirit. His Spirit. I've asked Him to bathe me and wash me as I showered last night. I'm like, just as I feel that water, Lord God, I want to feel Your Holy Spirit. Baptize me right now. Fill me from the top of my head all the way down. I want to feel like there's hot oil running all over me. That anointing oil, that healing oil. And He's faithful to do that. So I can be renewed. So that we can run and not be weary. So we can soar with the eagles. I don't want to be down with the chickens. I love chickens, but I want to soar with the eagles, and I want you to as well. So why aren't we operating like this book of Isaiah says? If you read the rest of chapter 40, it is a magnificent book. It's a magnificent chapter about our God and His mercy, and His power, and His forgiveness. If you read this, I promise you, you will be encouraged. You will be renewed. But why isn't the church operating that way by and large? I have a theory. Actually, I don't have the theory. The Lord gave this to me. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My theory, one of the reasons I believe we are worn out as a church, we are, the leadership of other churches we talk to all the time, other big churches, other small churches, medium-sized churches, the leadership, they're all fried. They're all worn out. They're tired. And I believe it's because we have forgotten how to wait on the Lord. How to serve our Lord. So rather than, we're so worn out because we're just waiting. God, where are you? Where are you? Change this. Take this out of my life. Heal me. Take this person out. Put this person in. You know, heal my finances. Heal everything. The way I think, the way I act, the way I, whatever. We're so worn out by waiting on him, we forgot how to wait on him. Does that make sense, guys? How to serve our Lord. How to serve our Lord. Do you know that Jesus would be fulfilled when he would go out and he'd serve the masses, when he would perform miracles, even when he was worn out, spent, so tired. He would go out and he would get filled back up by serving his Father, giving honor to his Heavenly Father. That's my theory. We have forgotten that we must wait upon the Lord. And that's why I have a little picture of servanthood up here. You know, sometimes waiting is exhausting. Some of you have waited for people to come home from the military, from serving overseas. That's exhausting. Some of you have waited for incarcerated people to come out. It's exhausting. I get it. We're waiting for that day when our westbound daughter moves closer to us or something. I don't know how that's going to happen, but it's exhausting. It'll wear you out. So in the meantime, what do? We serve the Lord with gladness, as Psalm 102 says. We serve the Lord with gladness. We come before his presence with singing. That's why we sing in this place every Sunday. But don't let it stop there. Go sing in the shower. Sing in your cars. Sing wherever you can. Sing your own song. Come unto the Lord with your song. Make unto him a new song, the Bible says. A new song from you. Sometimes I'll sing stuff that's crazy. I love my wife because she wakes up, most mornings like on. There's no in between. She goes from sleep to, hi! Hi, honey! How you doing? And she has this great knack for making up songs. And she'll sing about peanut butter. She'll sing about breakfast. And she just has a great knack for that. But she makes a new song unto the Lord. Sometimes it's a new song unto Phil. And she just makes me laugh. She serves the Lord with gladness. I'm here to tell you guys, I've never met a woman like her. She loves hard. Some of you have felt that. But she loves hard. And you know what that means, right? That doesn't always mean rainbows and teddy bears and all. No. We love hard, you guys. We don't want you going over the edge. None of you. Not one of you. We were out there at the beach yesterday, and I was thinking how symbolic that was of church and shepherds. We had basically six kids. Well, seven including Randy. But he behaved. He stayed on shore. He stayed on shore. But guys, Karen and I looked at her sometimes, and she was doing the count. And then she'd look at me, "You're counting again?" I'm like, "Yep, counting again." You know, there was just no way I wanted any one of those kids to get pulled out to sea. And it can happen like that. I know a lifeguard was right there, but didn't matter. We were the lifeguards too. We were the spiritual lifeguards. And so I was thinking about that symbolism of how difficult it would be to jump in and go after the one. Noah was, he was brave. There was a picture of Noah that I'll never get out of my head yesterday. He caught a wave on a boogie board like I've never seen. And he was at the very top of that wave, and I looked up, and his face was like, and it was just click in my mind. And there was sea foam, and he was just, he was in heaven. But just as quickly, that could have crashed. That could have ended. And I was thinking, God, how quickly and how fragile we are and how quickly things can change. So we must serve the Lord with gladness until the day we cannot. Psalm 104, enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. This is another way that we are serving the Lord. Guys, we're trying to be respectful of everyone in here. But on Sunday mornings when we're ready to start service, we're ready to start service. We're ready to come in and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I know out there you're making a joyful noise, eating and fellowshipping, and it's wonderful. Don't stop. That's what we want. But when we come in here, we now want to make a reverent, awesome, awe-filled, beautiful noise unto the Lord. A joyful presence unto him. That is serving our Lord. We're going to get into some other examples here. We're just getting in. Oh yeah, we're good on time. All right. Jesus himself. Let's get this one, guys. At the young age that this account was taken from, he had gone into the temple. You know, scholars estimate he was 12-ish, I don't know. He was a young kid. But he goes into the temple to speak to those that have been studying the Torah, the only word, the only written word that we had at that time. They were in there studying. They knew every jot, every tittle. They knew every fragment of what they were reading. And they were following the law to the letter, even if it killed them, and sometimes it did. You know, so he comes in there, and he's giving them the gospel. He's changing the world. He's already beginning to, what he was doing was laying out the tapestry for the Great Commission. He was laying out the pathway for those 3.5 years when he came into his own. But it started back then. And of course, his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, were frantic. They were like, "Where did he go? What happened to him? We got to go find him." And they finally find him in the temple. And listen to his response. Why were you seeking me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He was busy about his kingdom. He was busy about what his Father told him he must do. Guess what you and I must do? The same thing. The same thing. That's why, guys, we will never stop. And I know that is bad news to Satan. We will never stop meeting with you, encouraging you, praying for each of you, one-on-one, crying with you, laughing with you, counseling you. We will never, ever stop until he calls us home. It's our reasonable service back to our Father. It's our Father's business. What is yours? Ask yourself, what is yours? Paul knows this. Paul is, you know, a little bit older than some in here. But Paul knows today is the first day of the rest of his life. Paul also knows that it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And there ain't no fat lady's going to be singing in here. Paul knows that he's got to be busy about his Father's business. That's why he shows up here almost an hour early on Sundays. He's ready, man. He's ready to get going. And Jesus himself set the tone. Jesus himself set the example and was just like, well, I don't know what you guys are all worried about. You knew I had to do this. And I'm just busy about my Father's business. We got to get going, guys. And that's not, I'm not scolding anybody in here. Please don't take that. I am trying to rally. It's like a basketball team, and I'm the captain, and let's go down and shoot some three-pointers, and let's make them count, guys, and let's get that ball back, and let's quit waiting around for the team to bring it to us. Let's bring it to the other team. I love this from Romans 12:1 as part of our service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Two things in there. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Not a dead one. Don't bring a dead body to the temple. Don't bring a dead body to the Lord. Be ready. Be ready in word. Be ready for a word. Be ready to correct. Be ready to be corrected. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, you've heard me say it recently, we are to not forsake this. We cannot forsake the gathering of ourselves together for the purpose of exhortation. Let me read that real quick. It's very important. Very important you get this. Because I want to clarify something on that. Hang on one second. Bear with me. Okay, so it's Hebrews 10:25. I believe that's the correct one here. So, verse 24 and 25, and let us consider one another. Listen to this. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what we do in here. That's what we do when we meet with you. We met with a couple in another state this past week. We did a video meeting. We were stirring up something in them that was already there. It just needed to be stirred up. It was love and good works. We were just stirring it up. We were using technology to spread the gospel. Yeah. And then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what is exhortation? Exhortation sometimes is believed to be just an encouragement and a rah-rah and a high-five and all that. It is, but it's also correction. It's also challenging you. And that's what I'm trying to do today. And if I'm failing, forgive me. I'm gracefully broken here today. But I'm trying to challenge you. Let's not wait around anymore. Let's wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him praise. Because it is your and mine reasonable service. Our church is wonderful. You guys are amazing. But the church of Jesus Christ in general, particularly the American church today, we get a lot done. You know why? Because of money. We can just pay for things and make things happen. But generally speaking, the church is still made up of 20% doing 80% of the work. It's ridiculous. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it for the church. It's crazy. We miss this. We must present ourselves a living sacrifice. If we really understood what that little girl understood when she fell down that tree trunk in the movie that we saw, true story. If we just understood and got a glimpse of heaven like she did, man, you would be unstoppable.
Right.
You wouldn't even want to sleep. I know some of you don't sleep good now anyway, but you wouldn't want to sleep because you would want to be, God, what else can I do for you? Lord, how else can I serve you? Lord God, how can I go help somebody? Yeah, you see someone today that's on the street begging, give them a bottle of water, cold cup of water in the name of Jesus, whether they refuse it or not. Karen tried to give bread to someone the other day, a whole loaf of bread, and he refused it. It's like, nah. I'm like, oh, okay. But she tried. Don't not try. That's being about your Father's business. Feed the hungry. Pray for the sick. Support one another. Encourage one another. Iron sharpening iron. Fire each other up for the Lord. Ask each other, what have you done for the Lord lately? How have you served God lately? Challenge one another. Not in some competitive way, but to encourage one another. Come on, we got work to do. Whether we live to be 80 or 100 years old, it is like a blink. A blink. I don't know what happens after age 25, but something happens that's supernatural in time, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you went from 25 to 50. It's like, what happened? We were coming home from the beach yesterday, and I had Frankie, Sue's son, sitting in the passenger seat beside me, and he talked until he couldn't talk anymore. And then he zonked out, man, and he was snoring for about an hour. He was out. And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he goes, did I fall asleep? And then he said, was I snoring? I said, yeah, buddy, you were snoring. I said, look at the back window, it's shattered. But it's like that. He didn't even remember falling asleep, and all of a sudden he's awake, and an hour went by. So time is short, guys. Time is short. We don't have much of it. We just don't have much of it. Let's make the best of it. Let's go out and serve God in such a way that he would be honored and glorified. Let me say that again, because I want it coming out right. Let us serve God today forward in a way that would glorify him, that would honor him, that he would look to his son Jesus and say, go tell Randy, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That he would tell Jan, yeah, that was some good percussions today. I'm telling you guys, time is short. And I'm just saying, let's go. Let's go. Let's grow. We got lots to do. Guys, we would love nothing more than to put more missionaries in the field from here. We brought missionaries with us when this church was started, but we want to birth missionaries from right here to send out. We've got teenagers in this ministry. And don't you think that in just a few short years, they're going to be called by God to do something amazing and serve him in the field? You better believe it. And we want to nurture that. We want to grow that. We want to teach them and disciple them. Michael, thank you for teaching your sons the goodness of God, the power of God, the power of his word. It was evident in your children. I loved it. I loved it. We got to do more of it. Let's go. Let's grow. So that when the voice of the Lord says, well, who can we send? That you won't hesitate. That you and I won't hesitate. You and I will say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. This world has nothing for us. Make no mistake about it. This world has nothing for us. This world is preparatory. This world is training ground. That's all it is. Now, we can enjoy, we can have a great time in the Lord along the way, like we did at the beach yesterday. But it's training. And even at the beach, we were training. I watched some of the parents. They were training their kids how to be polite, how to clean up after themselves, how to help one another. Now, we need a little more help with those coolers that we didn't get. Them things, I thought there was a dead body in Katie's. I really did. I thought, oh, my gosh, we picked up a drowned victim. And I drug that stupid thing all the way to the boardwalk. But I'm serious, guys. We got to grow, and we got to go, and we got to go. May I pray for you? Lord, prepare our hearts, God. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Every one of us in the sound of my voice, Lord God, prepare our hearts, Lord, so that when you tap us on the shoulder and say, Pree, it's time. Mike, let's go. That we won't hesitate. No matter where we are in our life, no matter how old or young we are, Lord God, I pray that you prepare our hearts to say, yes, Lord, take me. Yes, Lord, here I am. Send me to the front line, to the back line, any line you want. I'll go. I'll go. Prepare us, God. We can't do it without you. I don't want to do this without you. Prepare this church, Lord. Renovation Life Church. Prepare us for our mission of reaching, rescuing, and rebuilding lives for you. That is our reasonable service to you, O God.